You are listening to the Cyfidelity Podcast, episode 38, Pimp Club for Men. The Cyfidelity Podcast is intended for a mature audience and contains adult language and themes, such as a semen-based medicinal delivery system. One of the things that we recently discovered, and you should play this game, Brian, is a game called Cards Against Humanity, which is an offensive person's like wet dream. It's awesome.
It's apples to apples for the offensive.
Yeah, it's apples to apples for the horribly, horribly offensive. Some of the answers on there are like the token minority, poor people. One of my favorites one was Auschwitz, which I had to tell one of my Jewish friends about.
Yes.
I was like, wow.
Really? Because the one that always sticks out in my mind is masturbating in a pool of children's tears. So
I have to say the worst one that I heard was Pac-Man uncontrollably guzzling cum.
Yes. Well.
It's like, holy shit.
And again, what do you think those glowing orbs were that he was always going after?
Drugs.
Yes. Cum drugs.
Cum drugs.
Yes.
That's a whole new concept you just created right there.
This species gets high on jizz. I mean, that's just...
Drugs that make you cum. Weren't we talking about this at some other point? So,
I was thinking about drugs that were injected into cum and could only be administered that way. Hey, baby, I'm going to fuck you till you're high.
you know what's dark?
What?
That's a delivery method for Ritalin.
Oh God.
Yeah. Yeah. That's strangely that's where my head went. Yeah, stop picturing it.
Oh God. You shut down a person who's known for liking dark concepts. Even I was like, okay, wow, that might have been past the line.
It's not like it's engineered into the person where like his body makes it and then just puts it into the jizz and then he has to deliver it orally. All right, kids, it's time for your medicine.
Holy shit. Wow.
Is that a little bit too dark?
Just a little bit. That one's up there with the picture I saw on Facebook. Oh, that Brian posted actually on Facebook with Winnie the Pooh quoting Silence of the Lambs.
Oh, yeah.
Paraphrasing.
Yeah, paraphrasing. Yes, that was one of the darkest things I've ever seen.
Oh, well, how about this?
But the preface dark enough for you was well put then. Okay.
Yes. It was pretty goddamn dark, yes.
It's a delivery system for something that has to be taken rectally.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're really liking the concept of cum delivery, aren't you?
And the only way to get the proper, you know, amount of milligrams is you need the 13-incher. Oh, God. Time.
It's a good thing I'm black.
All right, Granny. It's time for your for your heart medicine.
G-MILF porn.
Oh, God.
Wow, this is horrible.
just some old lady with her stockings around her ankles and just her wig kind of hanging half off.
Oh, God. Is this what happens when Steve is next? Yes.
Steve is the moral center that keeps us above board.
Who would have thought Steve was the one that kept us from getting too dark? Holy crap.
You know what? I'm going to call it. Welcome to the Cyfidelity Podcast. This is Patrick.
This is Michael.
This is Brian.
Wow.
Had Steve had enough shame not to be here tonight?
Steve was like, you know what, guys? I can't do it this time. Morally, this is wrong.
Steve said, I am sick, but I'm not that sick.
There's a disturbance in the forest. I gotta sleep this off, guys. I can't handle this.
Oh,
man.
So we're down a man this time.
Yes.
But we're going down on a man.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh. Somehow I didn't see that when I said that.
I saw it, but I was driving around it. And then Brian decided, fuck it, I can jump this, and then failed.
Brian was the blind bus driver in that situation. Fuck it, I'm just going to keep going forward.
I love the thumping noise as they bounce off the bumper. It's great.
Holy shit. This is going to be the darkest episode we've ever done.
I'm just going to say it. I don't think you're going down on a man right if they're bouncing off the bumper.
Oh, no, I meant the little kids in the front of the bus.
The kids in the front of the bus go bump, bump, bump.
Somebody put out a topic, damn.
Somebody, I saw a sign on Facebook right before I drove here. It said, caution, speed bumps when kids are playing in street.
Wow. Oh, I will say one thing. I did see, actually, recently, and this is not sci-fi related or whatever, but it's related to driving, one of the signs. And it feels like it's the most guilt-trippingest sign I'd ever seen. Mm-hmm. And it said, blind child area. And I'm like, well, that just makes me feel bad for driving here. I was like, any moment I could just hit a kid because he doesn't see that there's a car here.
Yeah, well, we have a blind child area on the way here. Yeah. That must be what you saw. Well, you know what?
So you just saw that? You've driven through it how many times and you just noticed the sign?
Beforehand, I was aiming. Okay. We need a topic.
A blind. I got a blind topic. Daredevil.
Segway master.
Nicely done, sir.
Yes. I read today on theblaster.com that the people who had the rights to Daredevil had apparently not gotten their butts off the ground and made a movie and decided, and there was some deal about trading in some major supervillains to the people who have control of Avengers,
right.
And that that deal fell through, and so that now the people who have Avengers now have Daredevil back under their control, and that will probably could very well lead to a new Daredevil movie.
Yes.
And being two of the three biggest comic nerds I know, I was wondering what your reactions to that were.
I read about this story a while ago. This is actually, they recently, the guy who was signed on to be the director for Daredevil when I think 20th Century Fox had it.
Yeah.
He sent out a sizzle reel of what his movie would have been if he had actually gotten the chance, but they lost the rights. And now, yes, Marvel Studios, the people who've been putting out, you know, Iron Man and Incredible Hulk and all that. They actually now have the rights to Daredevil again because that contract ran out. They just didn't make a movie in time. So there was a danger. What it was the supervillains for Fantastic Four were thinking about being traded off back to Marvel so that they could keep Daredevil. But 20th Century Fox was like, no, fuck it. We'll just lose Daredevil.
Wow.
So...
Okay, the villains for Fantastic Four were going to be traded. What, Dr. Doom and the Mole Man?
There's a whole commodity exchange now of superheroes. Now
sadly, that's exactly what it was.
It's like a card game or something. When I'll spot you,
I'll trade you a Galactus for a Kingpin. Yes. Yeah,
I will tell you this: Fantastic Four was actually in the same boat. And they did renew the contract for that.
So I want to know more about these Fantastic Four villains because apparently they're worth more than Daredevil. So at least some people think so.
I think the issue is if we're going to keep Fantastic Four, because I do know for a fact, like I said, Fantastic Four was also on the chopping block, but they did decide to renew that. And their thinking was, well, there's no point in keeping Fantastic Four if we're going to lose the villains. So... Yeah. We might as well keep the villains, too.
Now, if I correct me if I'm wrong, but my count is one terrible Daredevil movie and two terrible Fantastic Four movies. Under the circumstances, I would keep the Daredevil just because it's shown that there's less chance.
One and a half bad Fantastic. The Silver Surfer part was good.
Yeah, I will say the second half of the second Fantastic Four movie was moderately decent.
Okay.
Silver Surfer was cool.
Yeah, I'm just saying the parts with the Silver Surfer in them when he was Silver Surfering
was cool.
Cool.
I agree with you.
The rest of that. Galactus is a giant cloud. Fuck you. He's a giant dude in purple pants. Anyway, I'm just
to be fair, if they had done that also would have been stupid.
then you know what? You can't make that comic book. You can't, don't put Galactus in it.
I've made the argument before. There are certain comic books that should not be made into movies, and I believe a lot of Fantastic Four falls into that purview. But okay, this is something I did kind of want to bring up on the show because there have been a lot of like trading going on with the Marvel movie stuff lately, mainly because the Marvel Studios movies have been very successful. Mm-hmm. The other studios are now trying to figure out what they want to do. Basically, they did fight for Fantastic Four, X-Men, and Sony, which is another studio, fought to keep Spider-Man. So those three did not go to Marvel Studios, but pretty much everything else went back to Marvel Studios.
What else was there?
Really just Daredevil, really.
Everybody else, which is just that one fucker.
And they're not going to do anything. They might do something with Daredevil, but I wouldn't expect that anytime soon. As a matter of fact, it's been already stated that Marvel, they counted all of the movies that came out before Avengers with Avengers as Phase 1. Mm-hmm. They've already figured out what all of Phase 2 is. So,
the next Captain America, Thor.
It's Captain America 2, Thor 2. It's also Guardians of the Galaxy.
Okay, yeah.
Guardians of the Galaxy.
Well, but that kind of leads into Avengers 3.
And then
right?
We'll be Avengers 2. And they've already Thanos, who was at the end of Avengers, will be in both Guardians of the Galaxy and Avengers 2.
Yeah. All right. That makes sense.
There might be Ant-Man.
Yeah, I keep hearing about the Ant-Man thing.
You know, aside from the fact that he likes to beat his wife, I don't really see that he brings much.
Well, the question is, are they using that?
They would make Tony Stark look noble and upstanding if you've got somebody beating a hero beating their wife. I mean, you know.
It's kind of true.
Is that the only way to redeem him?
Yeah.
Pepper Potts isn't pulling
it
off.
Well, that way
huh?
You get to keep all the darkness of Tony Stark without having people hate him because of somebody else to hate worse.
I will say there were certain storylines that I've always thought were just too dark and they should not have ever been brought into comic book world, and wife beating was kind of one of them. I was like, wow, really?
Yeah. But don't you want that scene where Tony Stark is saying, oh my God, dude, that's not cool.
Not only has that scene actually happened, I've actually seen that scene in a comic book.
But not on screen. We want to see that.
Dude, that is not cool. That's fucked up. Now, one thing I will say, I'm sorry, I'm now on this whole big Marvel movie kick because there's been a whole lot of stuff lately because not only did the studios actually hold on to the movies that they had, but a lot of the ones that are not Marvel Studios are trying to learn from Marvel Studios because mm-hmm. Marvel Studios got a lot of input from their comic book creators who worked at Marvel because they're the same company. 20th Century Fox is actually hired now as a creative consultant, like Mark Millar, who's a big comic book writer.
Yeah.
And they want him to do the same thing that the comic book writers were doing for Marvel. So hopefully that means that the next few X-Men and Fantastic Four movies will be better.
Well, I can't imagine the Fantastic Four movies being worse.
That's kind of true.
I can. But then
I don't
again,
know. The
I
first
a,
one
I have a grand
well,
imagination.
Roger Corman.
I was
going to
say there's the
Four.
Roger Corman.
Yeah. Oh, well. Okay. Oh, you're counting that one, too? All right. Well.
Have you seen that one?
Yeah, we watched the Genie.
Oh, that's right. We did. It was fucking awful.
Amazingly awful is the expression.
Was more true to the origin of the comic book when Sue was just window dressing and not the strongest member of the Fantastic Four.
Well, the funny thing is, Sue's always been the strongest member of the Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
She just acted like window dressing.
Exactly.
For a long
that was
time.
The thing.
Now, did you see the article? I was going to stick it to your wall about fan theory about the Avengers.
I had actually read that article a while ago.
Okay.
I meant to mention it to you when you mentioned that to me. I'd actually read that article before.
Okay. And did you have any reaction to the fan theory? And we might
wait. What is the fan theory?
I was going to say. Do you want to explain it? Because you might remember it better than I do.
Okay. If I recall, the basic gist, having no real detailed knowledge of comics, was that Loki is such a clever bastard and master of lies that everything that happened in Avengers was actually exactly what he wanted to have happen, or he set it up so if Earth fell or Earth or the Avengers saved Earth, either way, Loki got what he wanted, a passport back to Asgard. And everybody underestimating them because he thinks he's lost. Hence, that would be the setup for the next Avengers movie is now he's back in Asgard and everyone thinks he's defeated. And in fact, this was his whole plot was to get smuggled back in.
Here's the thing about that theory. And unfortunately, it's comparable to a lot of things in the real world. There's no way to possibly disprove that theory until the next Avengers movie come out.
All right.
It's like, well, you it's know, like I can't have an opinion on that because, yes, the theory that you put there could possibly be true. But if the next Avengers movie, if that's not what the next Avengers movie is about, then that's just all bullshit.
Okay. Well, or the next Thor movie.
The next Thor movie, yeah. Right.
Now, I guess it could I was going to say.
Well, no. Actually, the next Thor movie could be about something not related to Loki at all. It would basically, it would have to either be the next Thor movie or it would have to be the next Avengers movie. Yeah. But if it's not one of those, then yeah, that theory is total bullshit.
Okay. Well, so you can't discount it off the top of your head. You don't think
I can't.
Well, if you look, at least plausible.
It is plausible. If you look at the movie, I think it is plausible that he actually planned it that way. Because actually, as people have pointed out, Loki's plan in Avengers is not actually all that smart. So it does actually make sense that he may have purposely done a plan that was meant to fail to get something else.
Or at least that either if it succeeded or failed, he got what he wanted.
Pretty much. That. And I'm actually kind of okay with that. The only problem I have is that it's a theory that can't be proven or disproven.
So well, my second point was you two are steeped in Joss Whedon lore and have seen almost all if not almost all the stories. Does this seem like the sort of thing that he might pull?
Well, I will say this. Patrick had something to say before you went to that.
No, well, I was just going to say that this was like, you know, it's like quantum theory, right? Because you can't really tell. You can only tell this, or you can only infer this, if all of the stories are written. But if the stories haven't been written yet, then someone can go and read this fan theory and go, yeah, that's awesome. I'm gonna write it like that was what we planned all along.
Right.
Right? So, you know, who knows? You can't really tell.
Well, I just was curious if A, if it fit the Joss Whedon template, because you two would know.
Well, I will say
and B, did it seem like it was plausible? That was kind of
plausible, yes, yeah. Definitely plausible.
I will say two things. It does fit the Loki profile. I could see Loki doing something like that. Yeah. Unfortunately, the next movie wasn't already written. And that goes into the second thing I was going to say. When Joss Whedon wrote Avengers, he actually didn't plan to do Avengers 2. Now, if he had said going into Avengers, I'm doing Avengers 2, I would have been like, oh, that's totally what happened.
Okay.
But he didn't go into that knowing he was going to do it. I mean, he is doing it now. Yeah. Now he's definitely doing it. But at the time that he wrote and directed the first one, he had no plans on doing the second one.
But, you know, Loki, even... I mean, that is kind of his modus operandi. Even when Loki loses, he kind of doesn't lose. It's not so much that he gets defeated. He just doesn't get exactly what he wants, but he has an exit strategy. So,
he's a manipulator.
Yeah, he's like he always lands on his feet. So, yeah.
I mean, unless the Hulk's playing with him.
Puny god. I will definitely say the thing about Loki that's always cool is the reason that he can do that is because he's not going for right or wrong. He just likes chaos.
Yeah.
So it's like he will get what he wants because what he wanted was chaos.
Yeah. Okay.
I just don't get why Thor and Odin just don't get fed up with that shit. Well, like, you know what? I'm going to kill this fucker.
Well, the other thing that occurs to me is that as far as I can tell of the whole Avenger connected franchise, that's the best villain they've come up with. I mean, what would you argue? Who do you think they've got better?
Avengers has been around for 30 years.
No. In the movies.
In the movies.
Within the movies. Actor and a character.
Yes. In the movies.
I will say within the movies, yes.
Yeah, well, that's my point. So they don't.
Three villains?
Well, I mean, there's the villain from Captain America. There's a villain from.
There's Red Skull, Loki, and.
And there's the there what, were bad the, guys in the Hulk movie. There were bad guys.
The Abomination, please.
That's my point. Face. We spit, and the others are just a joke. The idea of bringing these villains back is laughable.
Blonsky this. Anyway.
And the Iron
Man
villains.
Did you just say the Abomination's real name?
Yes, I did.
Did you notice that they actually had the leader in the second?
Incredible
Hulk?
In the Incredible Hulk, yeah. So they're setting that up. I don't know.
If they're ever actually going to play that off.
Yeah.
Play that up. I don't know if the sales for... the money that Incredible Hulk pulled in was big enough for them to actually play that up later.
Well, it was it wasn't before, but I think it is now after Avengers.
I will say this. They did say, because I did read an article specifically about this, there definitely won't be a Hulk movie in Phase 2, but they are considering it for after Phase 2.
Yeah, well, that's good. You don't want to...
There's a lot of talk of a Hulk TV series.
Yeah,
there is. And you know who's supposed to be the showrunner for that? Guillermo del Toro.
Well, shit. I had written it off before, but now I'm back in.
I figured that would do that. Yeah.
Son of a bitch. I was like, oh, that's stupid. Wait, what?
Wait, what?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Marvel Studios is proving that this shit can be successful. So the big studio people are like, okay, I want to be involved in that.
Okay, so what? I don't know what kind. So what kind of... Do we have any details? Like, what kind of Hulk do you think we would have? Would it be the persistent Hulk? Would it be Banner Hulk? Would it be...
That's the thing. They don't have a whole lot of details. It's still in the plan. It's been in the planning stage for a while. And unfortunately now, because of the success of Avengers, of course, the success of Avengers has also led to more talk of the Hulk TV show. But The Shield is definitely going to be the first show. So right. It won't be the first show. It'll be a while before Hulk comes out. All I know about the show is that Guillermo del Toro is heavily involved.
Well, I mean, you know, making a Shield, a Shield TV show is not really that far out of the realm. I mean, it's not really that much different than, like, Nikita, basically. It's a bunch of spies doing spy shit. I mean, that's what...
My question is, how Marvel is it? How Marvel-y is it going to be?
Yeah, how Marvel-y is it going to be? Like, because really, it would just
be... Will there be a base on the dark side of the moon?
Actually, S.H.I.E.L.D. doesn't have... They just have a helicarrier.
Oh, no.
They got a hella ton of those. Hella ton of helicarriers. I really wanted to make that joke.
I know. I saw you straining. But, yeah, I mean, because otherwise it would just be a spy show. I mean, Black Widow and we were talking about Green Arrow before, and I'm getting him confused with the Marvel equivalent.
With Hawkeye.
Hawkeye, there you go. It's to do with arrows, whatever. But they're basically just, you know, covert operatives and assassins, so that's easy. So I guess the only way to make it Marvel-y would be every now and again you got to have somebody with superpowers show up.
Well, that's the thing. Because there was actually a really cool comic book that I read, and it came out mid-aughts. It was called Gotham Central. And it was about the Gotham City Police Department. And it was basically like Law & Order. It was a cop show. It was about normal cops in Gotham City. And, you know, they fully played up the whole, we're in the city with the Joker and the Riddler, and we're regular fucking cops.
Yeah.
Batman rarely ever showed up. I think he made one appearance in the entire comic. It ran for like 60 issues. And it was extremely cool if you do it right. And I'm wondering, is that what S.H.I.E.L.D.'s going to be? Is it going to be secret agents in the Marvel Universe, or is it just going to be secret agents? Because if it's just secret agents, shit, I could watch Alias. I could watch Nikita. This is no different than that. What I'm interested in S.H.I.E.L.D. is S.H.I.E.L.D. I want spies in the Marvel Universe. Otherwise, I could be watching anything else.
Yeah.
So the question is it going to do that?
I don't know.
Did you get the occasional guest appearance from Robert Downey Jr.?
What kind of budget does the TV show have?
His voice on a telephone.
Oh, I can't. I'm going to tell you this right now. This is my prediction. You will get a voice on the telephone appearance from Robert Downey Jr. in the pilot for S.H.I.E.L.D. That is definitely going to happen.
Oh, well, the pilot.
Episode, you're going to get as many guest appearances from the movie.
You bust out your cameos in the pilot. That's what it's for. And you're like, wow, this isn't really Marvel-y. Did you see the pilot?
It's like the pilot Iron Man for the Highlander TV series. We bring in both Connors. Both McLeods.
Exactly.
My question is, what I want to know is, and they've already kind of given out like a cast listing with names for S.H.I.E.L.D., is Maria Hill, who is played by a TV actress, going to be a major character in S.H.I.E.L.D.? Because I would actually think that's cool, because she's a major character from a comic book. So it would be cool if the character that was put in Avengers was a major character in the TV show, because she's already just a TV actress. So,
I would second your idea about seeing normal people fighting super villains. Sounds way more interesting and more likely to get me tuned in than another spy show, as you say.
Right.
So I do want to say.
That's going to be hard to film.
Well, really, you just need, I just need it to be Marvel-y. I don't need it to be super villains. You could do Hydra. You could do AIM.
Yeah.
Not every week has to be a supervillain. I'm just saying, here's the thing. Supervillains.
What I'm saying is there are other spy organizations in the Marvel Universe. I'm just saying, let's do those. Let's just not do regular, normal.
Well, yeah.
You don't want them fighting Al-Qaeda?
That would be weird, yes. That's basically what I'm saying, yes. I don't want to see them fighting, like, terrorists out of the Middle East or, like, you know, Russians, you know, old cold warriors. I'm like, no, that's just weird, okay?
Okay, so you want it should be, like, the espionage arm of G.I. Joe.
Yeah.
And it's just, like, the recurring bad guys are, like, Zaymot and Tomox.
Yeah.
And they're just...
Crimson Guard.
Yeah, they're just living the life, you know, being rich, and they got, like, cobras on their shirt and shit, and they're like, oh, hey! Ooh, Cobra! And then they run away and like, oh, we almost got him, but not. Is that
yeah.
Is that S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah,
in a nutshell?
I mean, unfortunately, that's what you got to do if it's going to be an ongoing TV show where we almost got him, but we didn't. I would say that, oh, that would be lame, but I watched Nikita. They do that on Nikita. I watched Alias,
few major evil spy
that's what I'm saying.
So you could kill one each season? Yeah.
Well, no, but the thing is, on Nikita, they change their status, and so the bad guys, you know, see, it's only really been two seasons. Like a lot has happened in the two seasons, mm-hmm. So you know, the one guy who was in charge, well, he wasn't in charge, and then somebody else took over, but then that person got overthrown. So you know, I mean, shit changed. It wasn't static.
It did. I will give you that. It's just I don't know. I'm kind of excited for S.H.I.E.L.D., but at the same time, I'm apprehensive.
Well, you know me. I'm cynical as shit. So I trust none of it.
I will say this. Where I put my trust is, it's not just the fact that Joss Whedon is involved, but I found out who he is, you know, putting up as the head writers for the show, mm-hmm. and it was the same head writers for Dollhouse.
Ah.
And okay. After rewatching Dollhouse, I was like, oh, yeah, now those guys, I mean, they definitely think outside the box, because Dollhouse is definitely unlike any other show I've ever watched. And it's those two guys. Well, I'm sorry. It's his brother and his wife. His brother's wife. So I shouldn't say those two guys, because one of them's a woman. unfortunately, she's got a name that I find very hard to pronounce, and I'm not going to try and sound like an idiot. I can look it up real quick. I know it's Jed Wheaton and Jed Wheaton's wife.
Oh. I am not going to say that. Okay, so,
I'm not the only one that exercised self-control. Was there anything else you wanted to know about Daredevil?
What would you want out of a Daredevil movie? What would you, if they could pick one thing for them to get right, what would that be? I'm curious. Do you guys not really care too much about Daredevil?
Daredevil is actually one of my favorite comics for a long time.
Okay, well, then you must have an opinion on this.
Okay, well, here's the thing.
He's got to be blind. Yeah, okay.
Well, I mean, he does have to be blind. Okay, well,
if he's not blind... Okay, so what do they have to get right? He's got to be blind but have super senses. Otherwise, it's just bullshit.
Yeah.
Besides
the obvious stuff.
Daredevil is similar to Batman in that he doesn't have... He has super senses, but he doesn't have super strength or super invulnerability. He's basically just a guy, right?
Yeah.
So he uses this information... I mean, because he's blind, so he basically uses like his super hearing and super sense of touch and blah 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 to basically make up for his lack of eyes, and then the rest of it is he's like a fucking acrobat and mm-hmm. you know, whatever. So you can go down those same lines, and
he was trained by ninjas.
And yeah, well, yes, fucked one, and then that came back to
to haunt him and bite him in the ass, that led to a really shitty movie with Jennifer Garner,
yeah, which. If anything, they should fix that.
Elektra, a character that could be cool, but honestly was never really handled that well in the comic book either.
yeah, true enough. But what would I want to see? I would want to see. I don't know. Would you want to see like a major villain? I think I'd rather just see him go after general crime. I don't know.
Well,
a serial killer,
more like
something where he'd have to track
like
somebody
Batman
down.
Begins kind of spin on it, where it's really low key on the super the superhero side of things.
No. I would definitely want him using his his super senses. But
that's a good point. I just thought about that. I was going to say, well, this would never happen because Marvel doesn't have the rights to Daredevil. They do.
They do now. Ha-ha.
They do. Ha-ha. Actually, and I thought about this years ago, and actually, I hope this is what they do. Daredevil, I think, works better as a TV show.
You think so?
I think it works better because Daredevil's one of, unlike all these other characters where you can do really, really big movies with them, I think a Daredevil movie would just always come off as...
too low-key.
Too low-key. I think, honestly... I think Daredevil is one of these low level, and he knows he's low level. I mean, they actually said,
oh yeah, no, he knows.
He knows he's low level.
He knows his place.
Yeah, basically, he knows his place. So, but if you're gonna have if you're gonna have a character that's fighting crime, it's Daredevil. I mean, that's what his character does, and that is the easiest thing to do on a daily TV show. Yeah. Somebody that's not going after cosmic characters, somebody who only wants to go after crime. He's just trying to clean up his area.
So, Law and Order, Blind Man.
Basically, well, Law and Order.
Now he puts the mask on.
Well, Law and Order, where this motherfucker can do flips and shit,
well, yeah,
and can dodge bullets and shit.
This parkour asshole in the red suit.
Pretty much is what I'm saying. But so I think Daredevil works better as a TV show. I don't think, I don't, when you ask me what I want from a movie, I don't want a movie. I want a TV show.
All right, fair enough.
Because I think that would be the easiest thing to do, like a season of.
But what if he was going after the Kingpin?
That could be the overarching story.
Well, I know, but if he had to make a movie, because they're not going to go for a TV show. So
they might, though, because they are trying to figure out TV shows to do. But okay, I see your point.
Or are they? Okay, well, I'm just saying.
I see your point. If you're trying to, if I had to pick, yeah, I would want him to do a villain, and I would honestly...
maybe Hammerhead.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing. I actually, if you look at the director's cut, I do recognize that the last movie sucked. But actually, if you look at the director's cut, it's actually a much better movie.
I have heard this. I am actually, yeah. I've never seen either version, but I am kind of curious about the director's cut.
I've heard these lies. Anyway.
If you guys want, we could do like a showing with just us. Because I do own the director's cut.
Appreciate that.
But I will say, yes, the director's cut is a much better version. Because you know what they took out for the theatrical cut? The plot. There's actually a plot that was completely removed from that film.
Okay.
It's been years since I've seen it, so don't ask me to rehash it now.
No,
but
don't make me lie about this fictional plot I heard about. The director's cut.
I bought the director's cut when it came out, and the movie's like, what, 8 years old at this point?
Yeah,
so
it's been a while.
I've forgotten it. But
not good enough to watch again. All right, good to know.
I own it. I just haven't watched it again. But anyway, but I would say because I didn't have a problem, I didn't really have a problem with the plot beforehand. I just think it was mishandled. I think the plot you got with the movie we had beforehand would be the best choice in a movie that involves Kingpin and Bullseye, because those are the two big. I think if you're going to do Elektra, that should be a sequel. If you're going to,
it should be its own story. That's kind of like the Batman Catwoman thing.
Like if you
a lot of parallels here.
Like if you wanted to do like what they did with Phase One, but just with Daredevil, you would do like a Daredevil movie with Kingpin and Bullseye, in which I don't think either one dies by the end of the movie, and then you do a sequel in which you introduce Elektra, and then you could do it. Then you could do an Elektra sequel, which is just totally her. Maybe you could even do the death of Elektra. I actually think the death of Elektra would be a really cool movie, but. They would have to set it up.
Right.
You couldn't just do it.
You know, I remember saying the same thing about the Spider-Man black costume Venom thing. And
yeah,
you laughed in my face. Like, they're not going to do three movies just to set up fucking Elektra.
We're talking about three movies for street-level crime versus a cosmic plotline involving every major Marvel character. That's a little different. I'm talking about street-level crime with two characters.
All I was saying was, okay, I will even allow the meteorite with the black goo in it to get the costume here. Granted, the proper way to do it, which they could do it because we've had X-Men movies, we've had an Avengers movie, we've had a Fantastic Four movie. Granted, some of those movies sucked, but whatever. You all know that these characters exist, except for the fact that Johnny Storm and Captain America look disturbingly alike. So you could do that.
Thankfully, since they're rebooting Fantastic Four, that won't be an issue.
Right, exactly.
Here's the unfortunate part. He was kind of awesome. He was the only good thing about Fantastic Four. I was like, but he was kind of perfect for that role.
He did fit that role, but, you know, it's called acting. I'm sure somebody else could figure it out. Hey, maybe Ryan Reynolds. He hasn't played enough superheroes yet.
You know what's fucked up? Actually, Ryan Reynolds probably could do that role.
Yeah.
What's fucked up is that I actually think, what's the actor's name? Chris Evans.
Chris Evans.
I actually think Chris Evans fits better as the Johnny Storm character than he did as Captain America. I mean, I don't hate him as Captain America. I just thought he was better as Human Torch. I did. I thought he was better as Human Torch.
I really liked his portrayal of Captain America. I'll be honest.
I think it was the best thing about Captain America.
Well, yeah. Well, I'm just saying, in the ensemble cast of Avengers,
yeah, he was pretty good.
He did a really good job being Captain America.
I guess I'm just used to super jokey Chris Evans.
Yeah.
So it was weird to see more serious. But, I mean, he did play it well.
Oh, yeah.
So, I can't imagine anyone else doing a better job. It's just that he did such a good job in that and The Losers.
Yeah.
Because he fit those two characters so well.
Because he's...
Because he's a good actor. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. Which is good. Which you know, I like the guy. He also fit the the second Evil X very well in Scott Pilgrim.
He was good. I will say this. The problem with them doing that, like doing a big movie crossover, unfortunately, comes down to studios. And with Spider-Man in particular, because that is the only one that Sony owns. Now, if Sony also owned Fantastic Four and X-Men, I could even say, you don't actually need the Avengers characters. Yeah. You could do, like, a Secret Wars thing with just Fantastic Four, X-Men, and Spider-Man. You could totally do that. But unfortunately, X-Men and Fantastic Four are owned by another studio. We got to get these contracts situated is the problem.
How do we find the contracts? And then, you know what? We need an enterprising listener to just, find those contracts and burn them. Because I'm sure there aren't any copies anywhere.
And then all the original creators of these characters could say, well, there's no contract to prove you own them. Maybe I own them. I invented this character.
So. And then we would send the leg breaker to say, only Joss owns these characters. And then they break your legs.
Is this an actual character, by the way, Daredevil fights the leg breaker? It just sounds, I mean, we have the Kingpin and all this other stuff.
It's funny that you bring up lawsuits because Stan Lee Media just sued Disney because Disney bought Marvel and they have the right to all these characters, but Stan Lee technically created them. It's a whole creator's rights thing.
Yeah, well, please let that shit go.
And there's still he's
suing them for billions.
I know.
I said with B, by the way.
No, I know.
I was reading there's still the Superman rights thing is still percolating.
The Superman rights
too.
Is still going along too. Yeah, because that just came up recently because apparently, this lawsuit is still fucking going because one of the lawyers made a point about the DC lawyers acting misconduct or whatever. And I'm like, wow, this lawsuit has been going for like a decade.
Of course it's been going for a decade. There's billions of dollars involved in it.
No. Yeah, I didn't know. I suspect that by this time, each law firm is quietly breeding their own lawyers who are specially trained to fight this lawsuit and make it go as long.
They're not trained in law. They're just trained in the law involved in this particular lawsuit.
Highly trained, specially bred and trained super weapons for this particular lawsuit, which has...
Legal version of Weapon X.
Yeah. I mean, that lawsuit becomes very simple. Either you had Stan Lee sign something when he started working for Marvel that says, hey, by the way, anything you come up with is ours, or they didn't, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where I work, they say, hey, anything that you invent, that shit's ours. And, you know, and only on, like, a loophole, as if it was something that my company doesn't make at all. It's completely outside of their realm of what we do and, you know, is not even considered an adjacent thing. You know, if I designed the world's best vibrator, they probably couldn't lay claim to that. But anything
else... I would
be
interested to know what that entails, but that's something we could talk about later.
I'll show you my sketches. But, so... So if I design anything that's anywhere close to where we play, they own that, right? Mm-hmm. And I don't get to go, but I created that, you know? It's, yeah. So now Marvel should do the right thing, and they should slide Stan Lee some money.
Yeah.
Not a lot, but just, you know, just like a, hey, thanks for making Spider-Man. Here's 50 G's.
The funny thing is, this is kind of like when Metallica made a big deal about Napster. Mm-hmm. Stan Lee's probably the last person that should be fighting this. There are creators out there that have been royally fucked by this kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Stan Lee's not one of them.
Yes.
He is rich.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Exactly.
So of all the people who should probably be doing this, it is not him.
Well, actually, from what I heard, is it's Stanley Media, which Stanley is not isn't actually involved with anymore. So the corporation is kind of doing its own lawsuit.
This is amazing.
And Stanley himself is not directly involved in any of this. And the impression I got from the article I read is that he didn't have any, you know, he didn't instigate it and was
Stanley sitting in the background going, "That's fucked up."
Yeah.
Well, frivolous lawsuits.
Pretty much.
There's.
But no, it always one of the. Well, like you said, it's probably not even Stanley. But yeah, I'm sorry. I have heard of people who have created characters who have gotten next to no money for it, and these characters have gone on to make millions and millions of dollars, and these people have just. They've died because they didn't get hospital bills paid because they had like cancer and they died. And there's like, this guy created a character that was worth millions of dollars. He could have very easily have gotten his hospital bills paid, but he got fucked over. And I'm like, okay, I get it in that situation.
But that's that's the gamble, because when he created the character, he didn't know it was going to be big. He said, you know what? I will take a weekly paycheck. Mm-hmm. So I will give you this for a weekly paycheck. Yay. And then the weekly paycheck wasn't enough or whatever. But it's like, you know, just because I made this thing that was going to be big, well, if I thought it was going to be big, then I should just do it on my own, have all the rights, and then guess what? I live off of it. Yeah. But I can't guarantee that I'm going to get my rent paid doing that.
I got to tell you, creator's rights is definitely a whole – I mean, unfortunately, I've read so much because there was a point in my life where I considered – comic book writing as a possible career. So I've read a lot of stuff about this, and I had to say it is definitely a gray ass area. It is not black and white. I mean, if you want to make it black and white, it can be, but there's also the argument that I've heard a lot of people, like Robert Kirkman, the guy who did Walking Dead, he makes the argument, honestly, as much as I love Marvel and DC, but honestly, any comic book writer that works there is kind of fucking himself, because you could just go to independent. You own it all, and whatever money it makes, because he made it big with Walking Dead.
Yeah, he lucked out with Walking Dead. Yeah.
And that's why everybody's like, go to Image. If you go to Image, it's an independent comic book, and you make that money. Now, you don't get any of the benefits that Marvel does, which is they pay for the upfront cost of putting out a comic book, which can be very expensive.
Exactly.
You have to cover that. But if it makes it big, you make it big.
and use Image as the example, right? So there was a bunch of people that worked at Marvel and said, hey, I'm not getting squat for all these cool characters that I'm making that are getting, you know, really big in the fandom. Let me go off and make my own.
That's why Image was created.
Which is why Image was created. And let's look and see, you know, how many of those characters actually became something, right? So you got, Spawn. I think Spawn's the most.
I think Spawn is the biggest
Spawn's
success
the biggest
story that came out of
that's
Image.
Success now, story.
Isn't Image the one that has the Star Trek license these days?
No, that's IDW.
IDW's
whole philosophy is, we'll make it big on licensing.
Okay. Yeah. exactly. So, like, Spawn made it big. That's got toys, and it's got the it had a movie. Mm-hmm. Wildcats had a cartoon. Savage Dragon had a cartoon. But for all those people that went over there and say, hey, look, all these characters I create that are awesome. Well, guess what? Part of the reason that they're awesome is because they were on the Marvel imprint. They were linked to other, well-known characters, and they became famous, they were lifted up by the existing beast, which is Marvel and or DC, that got them circulated and got them,
recognized. Gave them a name.
It gave them a name. And so, you know, you can't say, well, if I'd have done this on my own, I'd be rich. Because if you'd have done this on your own, you might have fallen flat on your face.
I will say this. That was kind of like the difference. Okay, I've got to get really, really in-depth nerdy with the comic. I'm about to start talking about comic book environments. And I don't mean like fictional environments.
616.
I mean fucking business environments.
Right.
So the business environment for the 90s in comic books was you had to make a name for yourself, so you had to do that through Marvel and DC. The funny thing is, nowadays, the current thing is people are making name for themselves and independent, and then they go to Marvel and DC. It's reversed.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the big names you hear nowadays, they made their names in independent comic books, the biggest example being Brian Michael Bendis. A lot of people know him now because he is huge in comic books, but he was in comic books for 10 years before he started working in Marvel. And then he started working in Marvel 15 years ago. And now he's huge. And I could name like five other people off the top of my head. Scott Snyder, Jeff Lemire. Yeah, I could name a lot of people who now started independence. So now, if you were going to make your name, you should do it in independent comics now. Because now that's how you make your
name. That's how you do it.
And then once you've made your success, then basically you've got more than enough money. Now you can then go, I want to just have fun. Now, then you go write Superman. Because you've made your money.
So,
I want to just do this for fun now.
Now, I will say I have one story. A man named Terry Nation wrote the first Dalek story back in 1963 for the Doctor Who. And because of the way the BBC did things, if you any characters you created in your episode, in your adventure that you wrote for Doctor Who, you owned. So he owned the Daleks, and which became a smash hit and took Doctor Who from a show with a modest little audience to, oh, this thing's definitely getting a second season. Its six-parter that it ran right after the four-parter. The six-parter was about the Daleks, and that was, okay, yeah, we're definitely doing more of this. Mm-hmm. So this is huge. Everybody loves these guys. Well, Terry Nation owned the Daleks, and he has made, you know, millions over the years merchandising Dalek, direct merchandising Dalek comics. He even came over to the U.S. and tried to do a Dalek TV series and had a script written and several studios interested, but never actually filmed. He made a very nice amount of money off the Daleks, and he still owns the Daleks to this day. However, Raymond Cusack, the set designer who designed the costume for the Dalek, did that on contract for the BBC, got paid for that one job, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
And has never seen another dime for all the billion probably dollars that have changed hands for both the BBC and Terry Nation for the Daleks. And Terry Nation's script basically says they have a flat base and glide around and a robot arm, and that's the everything else that's a Dalek was down to Raymond Cusack.
Yeah, no, I could go on for hours creator owned rights.
Yeah.
Every time Alan Moore opens his mouth and starts bitching about the things that have been done to his comic books, it's because he signed a creator-owned contract. Mm-hmm. That's why. Because I wrote this most exceptional comic book ever written, Watchmen, but I don't own it. So I'm fucked because they can do with it whatever they want.
Yeah.
And, you know, everybody's just going, oh, they should respect Alan Moore. Well, Alan Moore, I get the situation that he was in. It's not like he had another option. He wanted to write Watchmen. This was the only way. So I'm not saying, well, he shouldn't have done that. No, he should have done it. But he should have recognized the consequences of doing it and accepted those consequences and not, he's a grown-ass man. At some point, you have to go, okay, this is just whining now. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I mean, I feel for you. I know this sucks. But you knew what you were signing. It's not like you were... Nobody had a gun to your head. You knew what you were signing. Yeah. You wanted to write this. This was the stipulation.
Yeah.
And for 20 years, nothing. They didn't touch it. But, you know, a movie came out that was very successful. Guess what? Now they're going to touch it.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, wait, I want to. I mean, I get it. I get where you're coming from. But.
Sucks to be you.
Pretty much.
And, dear listener, it sucks to be you as well because this episode's pretty much done. So, Does it suck to be them, or is it, yay?
Like, I don't know.
I get to start it off. Hooray!
I don't know. This episode was pretty good.
Oh, okay. All right. I don't know. I'd have just tried,
I don't know. I just work here.
Down. That's all. Yeah, I just run the board. However.
Ah, damn. Steve's not here for pimp.
It's pimp time.
Yes.
Bring your hoes and your tricks.
I was also feeling bad because Steve loves copyright.
Oh yeah, he does.
He does like to talk about that.
Anyway, at least you got to hear our opinions about it. Because if Steve had been here, it would have all been Steve.
He would have been talking about how much the original copyright laws were awesome, and these new remakes of the copyright laws are bullshit because they're nothing like the original laws.
Oh god!
So you know, maybe we can convince Steve to give a rebuttal after he listens to this.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, you guys are fucked in the head. What is wrong with you?
Have a little attached bonus audio, you know.
Yeah. as an appendage to this.
It's been a while since we've had a B.
Yeah.
A B-side.
A B-side. In this case, B stands for Steve's bitchin'. So.
The bitch side.
Wow. I believe that was an Ice Cube video, an Ice Cube album. Ah, God, I fucked that up.
If you would like to tell Michael how badly he fucked that up, feel free to send us an email to feedback@scifishow.net, or you could post on the Facebook wall, and that's Facebook/scifishow, or you could send a tweet to @scifishow on Twitter. And there's Google Plus, but I don't know what that is.
Nobody
goes and there. I don't know if that anybody goes there. So we'll just
Google what?
Yeah,
Google what? I'm sorry.
So I believe. Oh, and then. Well, so email, or you could just go to scifishow.net, which is probably how you found this. Maybe not. Also, it's on iTunes, but you know, if you're getting this through iTunes, you don't need me to tell you that. So. Look, I am not an experienced pimper, all right? I just got my pimp cup last week,
I'm tell you what this is.
What?
Pimping ain't easy.
Yeah, but it's necessary.
But it is necessary. Yeah,
we are users. We are not the marketers. So, you know, yeah.
I'm president of the Pimp Club for Men. I am also a client.
Yeah.
Come here, ho.
Wow.
And on that note,
the Pimp Club for Men. I think that might be the title.
I second that. All right. This is Patrick.
This is Michael.
This is Brian. Stay tuned, true believers.
Wow. A Stan Lee reference. Nice.
Very nice. Adios.